NFL experience, then this is the show for you. This is Up on Game with LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plaxico Burress.
Did you hear that? LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Plaxico Burress?
It's a show with three of the best to ever do it on and off the field. And now, here's Pro Bowlers LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion Plaxico Burress.
All right, welcome in to the show, Up on Game. Happy Saturday to you. Happy football Saturday to you. Hope you guys enjoyed the Big Noon show. Hope you're ready to enjoy our show. If you missed any of our episodes, any of our shows in the past, which have been some pretty phenomenal shows, make sure you go check us out at our podcast, anywhere where it is that you download, subscribe, upload, whatever kind of load your podcast. That's Up on Game. Make sure you check us out. All right. Got a lot to get to today. Obviously, we got a legendary moment. We got Up on Game, Down on Game. We'll talk about Baker Mayfield. We'll get Rhett Butler on to talk about the upcoming fight tonight with Showtime Porter and Mr. Crawford. So we'll handle that business and we'll get to it. But we got a special setup here today for On Your Head. James Jackson of Straight Facts Podcast is live with us today. It's not a recording. He's about to get on somebody's head live. So without further ado, TJ, Plex, let's jump into I'm On Your Head.
Oh, yeah!
Now, it's
Over Like This.
I'm On Your Head with James Jackson.
What's up, James? What you got, brother? Whose head are you on today?
What's going on, guys? What's up, LeVar? What's up, Mexico? What's up, TJ? Man, I'm hyped to be on here live with you guys. You feel a whole different energy when I'm on here live. You know what I mean? It's going to be really good today. And what an episode for me to be live on for the first time, right? Because there are times of adrenaline, I'm sure all y'all know, that you have to separate your fandom from your job, right? You have to separate being a fan from actually being objective and covering sports and covering the game. And because I have to do that today, y'all, I'm really in a pickle. Like, I don't enjoy this, but I enjoy this. So let me rip the Band-Aid off. Without further ado, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm on your head.
Ooh.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy because Buccaneers are pirates, right? And pirates are normally responsible for taking other people's booty. But it's our booties that's been handed to us in the past 2 weeks. So on a two-game losing streak right now. And the last two quarterbacks that we've lost to have been Trevor Siemian and Taylor Heinicke. And no disrespect to Taylor Heinicke, but that's the second time that he's balled out on my team. And I'm not sure what it is about Taylor Heinicke that's so hard to stop. But I'm sorry, any quarterback whose last name sounds like a low-grade Pilsner really shouldn't be beating my team. I'm not really too happy about that. And it's not really just my defense. I'm seeing it all over the field, my offense too. And y'all know I would never doubt Tom Brady. Didn't doubt him before he came to the Bucs. Couldn't doubt him after what he did last season. But there's always a point in the middle of the season where Tom Terrific starts looking like terrible Tom. And we're in it right now. Two interceptions and a lost fumble in these last two losses. I mean, that's just shaky, baby. And I'm not loving what I'm seeing right now. And then the last thing, something that's just really annoying me, man, maybe y'all can answer this. What's the point of us signing Richard Sherman? What do we do that for? Because I'm not really seeing his production, I'm not seeing his value anywhere. It looks like Uncle Rich is just here for the barbecue, right? Which is ironic because every time he's out there, he's the one getting cooked. I mean, burnt even. So, look, there's a silver lining for the Brady Bunch here. We dropped two in a row last year, and we know how the end of the season ended last year for the Buccaneers, world champs. But that two-game skid last year was against the Los Angeles Rams and the Kansas City Chiefs, not against the Saints with no quarterback and a football team with no name. I'm not loving that. So I get it. Hindsight is 20/20, but the vision is a little blurry when you're in the middle of it. So for all those reasons, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I'm on your head.
Sounding a little shaky, baby. Hey, he jumped on your team right there, Plaxico. He said your team don't even have a name. Well, how you feel about that?
Well, Tampa Bay is really not my football team. I mean, even though they lost the last 2 weeks, they are playing the perfect team to get back on track. They're playing the New York Giants on Monday Night Football.
Oh, no, not your team.
So, you know, I'm not worried about Tampa Bay. They have a championship pedigree. And I don't think Tom Brady is going to play three bad games in a row. I don't think he's never lost three games in a row. I'm not worried about them because, you know what, they're going to get back on track. And they just happen to be playing, unfortunately for them, the New York Giants on Monday Night Football. So I just really think that they're going to, you know, play great offensively, put 40 points on for them. So
You feel that strongly about New York Giants?
No, I'm talking about Tampa Bay.
I'm not
worried about Tampa Bay. What I'm saying is that the Giants are going to be in a bad situation Monday night, being that Tom Brady has lost two games in a row. He's not going to lose three.
I was being sarcastic, Plex. But go ahead, TJ. Go ahead.
No. James has a point. It's really odd. And it's how you know too much is made of the quarterback position, honestly. You lose a Trevor Siemian and Taylor Heineke. You're like, huh? Tom Brady lost to those two quarterbacks back-to-back? No. Talk about those defenses he faced. That Saints defense is tough. And we know the Washington football team's defense is very tough. That was the key. They affected him with that front four. And he didn't play well, but he didn't play well because of what they did to him. He'll get back on track tomorrow against the Giants. The Giants just aren't a good football team. They play good defense, and they just find a way to kind of give it up, so to speak. And so, although they lost two games in a row last year, as he said, they were better teams, the Rams and the Chiefs. But you're going to lose games. You're going to lose games. You're not going to always be at your best. The Bucs have a good team. They'll rebound and bounce back. And they signed Richard Sherman. They needed help, man. They had such a shortage of DBs. They really had no choice but to sign Richard Sherman. And it's, you know, we could always be a Monday morning quarterback and say, oh, man, Richard Sherman ain't done anything. I guarantee the Buccaneers fans, when they signed Richard Sherman, was like, yes, we got some help. It hasn't turned out how they want it because he's been injured and so forth and so on. But the Bucs are rebounded. They're a good team. And Brady, it's not his first road. It's not the first time he's lost a game or two. They'll rebound. They'll be fine.
How you feel about that, James? We get to interact with James. Did James come? Did we take James down, or is he still there, Ryan? what you thinking there, James?
No, I agree, man. And look, Tom Brady's not going to lose three games in a row. We did play the Giants last year on Monday night as well, and we beat them by 1 point, really, because Daniel Jones isn't the greatest quarterback. He missed Darius Slayton twice, or we probably would have lost that game. But when you talk about the defensive side of the ball, that's exactly where a lot of our shortcomings are happening. Because last year, when we were fully healthy, a full defense all season, such an opportunistic defense, we're good for one to two takeaways a game, and we're not getting that now. So we're not offsetting the turnovers that our offense is having. Plus, when you allow someone like Taylor Heineke to go on a 10-play, 80-yard, 10-minute drive to close you out in a game, that's just that's cause to go back to the drawing board, man. Like, there's something that's got to get right. So, yes, unfortunately for the Giants, they're going to be a get-right game on national TV. That's just where they are, and where their franchise is at right now. We got to use them as a stepping stone to get back right. But I'm watching my team slide in an NFL race right now that's wide open. And I would love for my team to take command of it. And since I'm seeing this two-game skid, it's just cause for concern. Now, y'all let me know if I'm jumping the gun a little bit too much, but it's just cause for concern for me a little bit, man.
Okay,
I don't want to see my team playing like this.
Okay, and I hear the concern. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to give right now our current who you think is the favorite in the NFC. But first, TJ, can we defy some age, please? Can we defy some age?
No, you know what they need to do. They need to feel their best with M Drive.
Okay.
They may need to lose weight, and if you want to lose weight, try M Drive Lean.
Yeah.
Protein powder backed by real science to help you lose weight. Go to MDriveForMen.com. Don't let age beat you. Visit MDriveForMen.com. Hey, you know what, James? Though, when you think about it, it's really crazy how the Bucks fans lost for years and years and years, and then here come Brady, and it's like, man, we ain't used to this, man. What we doing?
Hey, you know what else is interesting? Y'all know what else is interesting? James lives in Philadelphia, and he's a Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. That is also
why you got air me out on the airwaves like that.
Wow. I'm just saying, you know, we got it. Hey, because we got
information to know right there.
We got to christen you the right way. We got to Joan on you, and we got to get you. We got to tap you. You talked about pirate booty, man. So we had to make sure we added you to the list. You did what I'm saying?
Oh, man.
He's a Philly cat.
Rapping
the Bay.
Man.
Yes,
look, they're going to come get me. They're going to come get me over here in Philly. Yes. You know they don't like Mount Eagles.
Yes, yes, yes. Get them. Okay, so real quickly, guys. Who do we have as the front runner in the NFC right now, today? We know that can change from week to week, but who are you looking at as this is the team to beat in the NFC right now?
Okay, go ahead, James. You got it.
I'll go first. Based on them getting stuff back right and Rodgers getting back in the building, we all know what happened with his vaccine and everything. But I look at the Packers, and not just their offense, but their defense playing extremely well these last 2 weeks. I mean, they're, 7-1 ever since dropping that embarrassing loss to the Saints week one. And the Cardinals are in and out with injury. The Cowboys are starting to spiral a little bit. The Buccaneers and Rams all having, you know, tough times figuring out what's going on right now. I see the Packers really as the driver's seat in the NFC, still holding that number one spot in the NFC right now. And in a division that they're not going to find too much resistance in. There's no one in the NFC.
They got
North.
The Vikings tomorrow, right? That's going to be the one. That's the tail of the tape.
That's only one. If they handle the Vikings tomorrow, that could quiet that noise a lot. The Vikings had a good win last week, their first really good win of the season. But they can quiet that noise a lot if they go out and handle the Vikings next week and really just establish themselves as the driver's seat in the NFC North and the driver's seat in the NFC Conference.
I agree. I agree with the Packers. Who y'all got?
I mean, for me, you would have to say right now, the Packers are playing the best football. But if we're looking towards December and January,
just make a decision. Don't give us an analogy. Who's playing the best right now?
The Packers are playing the best now. But if you say who do I think is going to come out?
We
on
said
top,
today. Who comes out on top?
Oh, the Packers. That's easy. But who do I believe is going to come out on top in January?
Yes.
It's the Rams.
Yes. Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. You guys over here trying to rush me.
Yeah, I don't want to rush. I do. I mean, we're up on a break, but you know.
You
got Plex.
Listen, I'm not backing off of what I said. I said a few weeks ago the Rams and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game, and I said this pre-OBJ and pre-Von Miller.
Why you got bass in your voice, Plex?
Listen, okay. I said this pre-OBJ and pre-Von Miller myself.
Yeah. Oh,
now that you add those two guys to the roster – I think that once OBJ gets comfortable in his offense, you're gonna start to see the offense change. He's only gonna make it better. Now you add Von Miller to the equation with Aaron Donald. If you think Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt was pretty good in Arizona, wait till you see these guys really get in stride, and then you gotta you gotta shut down corner. So I'm going with the Rams coming out of the NFC.
All right. Well, y'all heard it here. That's the first of us having many conversations. It's November, so this is the time when football really, really starts to matter, and you start to see if a team is going to go in the right direction or trend down. James, we appreciate you, man, coming on. James Jackson from Straight Facts Podcast, hitting them upside the head with the shaky baby upside the head, baby.
Shaky baby.
Yeah, we appreciate getting him on live. This is LeVar Arrington. That's TJ Hushmanzada. Plexico Burris. I got to do this before we go to break, though. I got to say, James, it doesn't always have to be a flight to Tampa Bay from Philadelphia. You know what we could do? I'll pick you up in my Dodge Ram, man, and we'll jump in that Dodge Ram, and we're going to take a ride, man. It's that time of the year, so we're going to take off. Yeah, we're going to jump off that couch. We're going to jet to the stadium parking lot. We're going to tailgate because it's football season. It means tailgating is back. So we're going to do it right. All right, I'm going to pack James up in there. Coolers, grills, widescreen TVs. You know, we're going to load up Plexico and TJ in the back as well with them coolers and widescreen TVs. And because the Ram has all that space. It's got hauling power, you know what I mean? And it's redefining what a truck can be. So Ram leads the pack in interior design. It's got great technology and overall quality. All right, in fact, J.D. Power just ranked the Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. The first time a truck brand has ever scored that high, y'all. So Ram trucks have that rugged durability, as I just mentioned, the Ham Haul TJ and Plex, wherever it is we trying to go. So when we pull up, I'm going to have my man James Jackson in the front seat, and he going to head window down with his booster seat and say, waving at everybody in Tampa Bay, like, hi, I'm here from Philly. I'm here from Philly. Make sure you get behind the wheel of a Ram truck brand. It'll turn heads when you pull up. Get ready for the football season, right? Do it with a Dodge Ram. Everything that Dodge Ram has offered, make sure you go check them out on ramstruck.com. For 2021 J.D. Power Award info, visit jdpower.com/awards. It's Up on Game, Fox Sports Radio, watching these college football games. Iowa State, Oklahoma is on. We got a whole lot to get to and more. We got Rhett Butler coming in from Pretty Left Hook podcast to talk about the big fight tonight. Stay locked in. We'll be right back.
Hey, preach.
Hey, man.
Hey.
That's a sad and unfortunate happening. I mean, RIP to Young Dolph, man.
We got to do better, man. Simple. We got this. This is getting out of hand, man. We got to do better.
You know, a lot of people be, oh, I ain't going to go off. I ain't going to go on no tangent. I'm going to leave it alone. You know, we did some real interesting TV shows during the BLM movements and all of this social justice taking place. Well, we got to stop doing this stuff to each other, man. I'm going to leave that at that. But, guys, let's we got a big fight tonight with Terrence Crawford and Sean Porter. Let's bring our guy in, man, Rhett Butler from Pretty Left Hook. Bring him up on the show. Bring him into the show.
What it do, Rhett. What it do.
This is a big one, man, and we've been talking about it. We talked about it on the last show. You know, give us a preview. Give us a good preview. Let's have a good discussion as to why one of these guys will emerge as, well, the top guy, one of the top guys in the boxing game, depending on what happens in tonight's fight.
Absolutely. This is a case of the sniper versus the bully. We're talking about Terrence Crawford, who you can really put into the visage of a Kevin Durant-level boxer, right? Terrence Crawford is a sniper. He picks his shots. He takes his time, but when he executes, it's accurate and it hurts and he's mean. So we're talking about a guy that comes to win, takes no prisoners, and enjoys watching people wince in pain from the body blows. Sean Porter, the bully, get in your chest, makes it a dogfight, dirty boxes you down, and he's the kind of guy that has nothing but stamina and tenacity and has never been knocked out in his great career. Yeah, he has three losses, but who are those three losses to? We're talking about Kell Brook. We're talking about Keith Thurman. We're talking about Errol Spence Jr. He's only lost to the top champions on the planet. So this guy is amazing, and he's never been dropped. But what this fight really means, more than anything, and let's talk business now, is the fact that Terrence Crawford is at the same point that Floyd Mayweather was when he left Top Rank officially in 2006. Now, just to get real with y'all real quick, in 2006, Floyd Mayweather wanted to fight Oscar De La Hoya for $20 million. His promoter at the time, Bob Arum, said, that's ridiculous. You'll never sell that much, because Bob Arum was used to selling Golden Boys. Floyd knew being the heel was going to work for him. So what he said was, you know what? I want to take the option out of my contract, pay you $750,000, and I'm going to turn it to Money Mayweather. That move from Pretty Boy Floyd to Money Mayweather made him the most highest-paid athlete on the planet for all those years until he retired. This is the last fight on Terrence Crawford's contract with Top Rank. He beat Sean Porter. He now has the decision to make. Do I start working for myself and start transitioning my career to become the next Mayweather or the next Canelo Alvarez?
Hey, Rhett, he could have made that decision 3 years ago, and he chose not to.
He absolutely did.
Why do we think that happened? Why, TJ?
I'm a huge fan of boxing, and like I said, he could have made this decision 3 years ago. He doesn't have the opponents to fight that are signed with Top Rank. You could have made the decision 3 years ago, and you did not. And so, rightfully so, people nitpick at his level of competition. This is the boxing game. If you get in the ring, you're a grown man. And so, to me, this is what you said. Crawford is so calm, but he's a killer in the ring. He's such a killer. He does not want to fight inside. Sean Porter's best attribute is his strength, being a former football player. He's not as refined as a lot of boxers, but he's heart determination and his conditioning. This fight can go either way, but if you're a realist and you really examine it, history tells you Crawford may clip him late. I mean, Adrian Broner knocked Sean Porter down in the last round. Spence did the same thing. Crawford is probably sharper than those two punchers. So with that being said, how do you see this fight going? And Crawford is uncomfortable, or he seems to be uncomfortable fighting in the inside. Is that where Porter wants to keep the fight consistently?
Yeah, absolutely. And I preface this by saying Sean Porter is a good friend of mine. Shout out to Sean and Kenny Porter. But I think Sean's going to lose tonight, unfortunately. And I hate to say that because Sean deserves a win like this, but I think it doesn't affect Sean's legacy, but Crawford needs this win. Sean's going to keep it dirty all night. Sean knows that if he keeps Terrence Crawford uncomfortable and off his balance, that he's going to do really, really well. Crawford is used to downloading data very, very fast and having patience. Sean Porter is not going to give Crawford the time to be patient at all. He's going to keep him constantly thinking. But unfortunately for Sean, and I say that with love, Terrence Crawford is just a whole nother animal in the ring. He's going to be faster, sharper, because he understands what this moment means. And to your point earlier about what he could have did 3 years ago, you're absolutely right. But boxing was different then, too. Now he can look at Canelo Alvarez, who's the new Mayweather, so to speak, in terms of being the face, and say, you know what? When he left Oscar De La Hoya and decided to not just be a boxer, but to be a boxer businessman, look at what he is now to the game. I think Terrence Crawford is smart enough to understand what he can be. He just had to realize he can't just be an athlete anymore.
Hey, I got to go with the bully, man. You know, Sean Porter, I think the three losses that he had by Brooke, Thurman, and Errol Spence Jr. So let's just say that Sean Porter wins this fight. Who is the next best opponent for him? Wait, what happens to his career? If he goes out and wins this fight, what does that mean for him?
If Sean Porter wins this fight, man, I mean, that sets up a huge rematch with Errol Spence, because let's not forget, when he lost to Errol Spence, he lost via a split decision. It wasn't a unanimous. So at the end of the day, there's still questions that need to be answered, especially with Errol Spence, who's supposed to be the most dominant welterweight right now. So I think it immediately sets that up. Whereas when you're talking about Crawford, it sets up probably more Josh Taylor, because they're not going to go right for Spence yet. That fight's not going to be ready yet. They want to tease that out a lot more. And also with the UK fans, with Josh Taylor, it works a lot better for Crawford in terms of maximization of pay-per-view and all that kind of stuff. Because you're going to need a bigger audience, because Crawford still can't carry America yet, which is why this fight tonight works so well, because Sean Porter has a deeper lineage and a better sales history than Terrence Crawford. So Crawford still has to own our country. He hasn't owned our country yet.
And you believe, can he get it through this fight? And if so, I mean, you look at a guy like Floyd Mayweather. And listen, people love to hate Floyd. But when Floyd turned himself into a villain, everybody started paying attention. Floyd had been good. Nobody liked Money Mayweather or what? Pretty Boy Floyd. They wasn't into Pretty Boy Floyd, right? It's like, oh, this kid is pretty good. Look at him. He's doing all right. Oh, that's nice. Right. But then this kid turns into Money Mayweather, and he turns into a villain, and everybody's paying attention. Now, Crawford seems to be that type of guy. He has the personality and the disposition that could really, really fit the bill of how – and you mentioned, you said some things like his download of information. It sounded like you was talking like about Floyd Mayweather Jr. How comparable is he to Floyd, in your opinion? And can a fight like this – because I didn't feel like it was highly, highly publicized. Does it take him fighting a Canelo – for him to become a household name, and does a fight like that even ever take place?
No, great questions. I think that first and foremost, we have to be clear. Top Rank, which is billing as the promoter for this fight, because Terrence Crawford is their fighter and he is the A side of this fight, they don't know how to promote Terrence Crawford. Let's just be clear. They do not know how to promote Terrence Crawford. He's an enigma to them. Let's think about the people that Top Rank has promoted successfully. Oscar De La Hoya, Manny Pacquiao. They understand how to promote the good guy. That's always been their thing. So at the end of the day, when you have a Terrence Crawford, he's enigmatic for them because they don't understand his part of the culture. Terrence Crawford lives in a gray area. He's not willing to cross over into the edge to be the full-time villain, but you know he's mean enough to have that in him. So they don't really know how to exploit that enough to make it resonate with a fan base.
But you know what's crazy, Rhett, is the African-American boxer can't sell.
And that's
then
right.
When they took him to Omaha, Nebraska, what happened? He sold out arenas.
Exactly.
That's a myth. That's a myth. Bob Arum does not want to promote. He wants the networks to give him money.
That's right.
And that's just what – like, I'm a huge boxing fan, man. Like, Bob Arum is – he'll make an excuse why this fighter ain't fighting this fighter.
Right.
And come to find out, he didn't want that fighter to fight this fighter.
Exactly. And look at what he did with Shakur Stevenson. I've always felt like he's underpromoted Shakur Stevenson. Now that kid had his breakout moment, but at the same time, he's not really getting it from the promoter. He's bringing it on his own. But to Barr's question, I don't think you can really compare Crawford to Mayweather outside of athletic acumen. Absolutely. He's a cat-like reflexes. He downloads info quick. You have to compare him more to like a meaner, more street version of Andre Ward. Because Andre Ward is the man that always has the most underrated career. But if you think about Andre Ward, he's like LL Cool J to rap. He has the best career pattern you ever want in your industry. If you're a rapper, you want to be LL Cool J. If you're a boxer, you want to be Andre Ward. He got a gold medal. He won all the belts. And then he retired undefeated.
Got up out. Yeah.
Yeah, then left and was like, you know what? I'm good. Had the Jordan contract, the whole nine. He just wasn't as loud as Mayweather. He wanted to keep the respectability in the game, and he won titles in multiple weight classes. So the guy to really compare Crawford to is Andre Ward.
Wow.
No surprise why they're close. But I think at the end of the day, Crawford has to understand that he already has a cantankerous relationship with Bob Arum, because to Plax's point, yes, Bob Arum's here for the money grab. He doesn't get Crawford. He doesn't want to get Crawford. Crawford has to understand where he's at in his life. Canelo realized that Oscar La Hoya was doing the same thing to him. He left, and look at him now. Crawford has to own his space, period.
But first things first for Terrence Crawford, out of all that stuff y'all are talking about, he has to win this fight tonight.
Yes, he
because
does.
If he doesn't win this fight tonight, none of it matters.
Big question. And to your other question, if he wins this fight tonight, meaning if Crawford wins this fight tonight, it's going to immediately legitimize him to casuals, because Sean Porter has already won the hearts of casual fans by his in-ring action. He's just fought bigger names. So Crawford beating this guy puts him on the map for those who are a little on the fence about him or a little obscure about him. Then they'll be like, wow. And if he dominates the way he normally dominates, and if he knocks Sean out, oh, my God. That's going to be a watershed moment.
Let me revisit comparisons, because I like the Andre Ward comparison, but I just feel like Dre is his own animal, looks his own animal. The first time I saw Terrence Crawford fight, Sweet Pea Whitaker, I mean, he looks like him almost in appearance. He moves like him almost in ring awareness. He's quick, maybe not as quick as Sweet Pea, but his people didn't realize how devastating – you know, Sweet Pea's, you know, power was. You know, he could finish a fight. He wasn't just pretty. He didn't just move around. He wasn't just Sweet Pea. He could actually finish the fight. And, you know, a lot of people compared him to Sugar Ray.
Absolutely.
You know, so when you look at Terrence Crawford, am I often thinking that maybe Terrence shows that you know, that level, that ilk, that caliber in this fight, and then once if he is able to do that, if that's obtainable, then again, how do we look at him moving forward? And what does this do, you know, more importantly, I guess the better question here is, what does this do for the game of boxing? Because right now, Tyson Fury and Deontay Wilder were, in my humble estimation, now TJ may push me on this one and try to throw out names because he's a boxing nerd, but I feel like the heavies were carrying the popularity swell back, and Tyson Fury is the only one that holds it, because Anthony Joshua fell off the cliff, Deontay Wilder fell off the cliff. There's only Tyson Fury really that people know, and that would be like a big drawing card. What does this fight do to boxing?
This fight is huge for boxing. I mean, you're talking about Terrence Crawford, who's an undisputed world champion, fighting Sean Porter, who's fought everybody not named Terrence Crawford in his division. I mean, this is a huge fight for boxing. The problem and the reason why the heavies did so well, specifically Wilder versus Fury, is because they are actual arch enemies. You need that antithesis to yourself.
You know, when you have a Deontay Wilder who's so big, and then you get another guy from the UK who's even bigger with a better boxing acumen than you, now you're talking about a fight of superstar caliber that everybody wants to see, plus add into the mix the personalities of the two guys, which are outlandish, and you have what you're going to call now a legendary trilogy. But the problem with Terrence Crawford, he's never found his doppelganger. He hasn't had the guy that's going to push him to that point where they hate each other and want to kill each other. And I think that even though in this fight, athletically, we're going to get that, the lead-up is what creates the anticipation. Mm-hmm. And Terrence Crawford has never had lead-ups that make you salivating for the fight. We're all salivating because we understand the athletic dynamic. But where's the beef? Where's the drama? You know, Sean Porter's a nice guy. Terrence Crawford, he's mean, but he's quiet about it. He's just menacing. So it's like you're not getting that anticipation. That's what pushed Floyd over the edge. He sold the fight knowing he's going to be a strategist in the fight, which some people consider to be boring. But he oversold the hype so that you would be like, damn, this guy's this is a chess match, and he's winning, but I'm not getting killed on the action. It doesn't matter. He still got you to spend your money because he knew how to sell it. Terrence Crawford doesn't sell fights. He needs another person to go over the top to push him out of his comfort zone in that way. And then Terrence Crawford will arrive at something that will be a boxing signature moment. But to your point about Pernell Whitaker, I would only go – I mean, Pernell Whitaker for everybody, and he's a legend, so this is no disrespect. But I would have to say Terrence Crawford might have surpassed Pernell only because he's undisputed.
Ooh.
I mean, when you beat everybody in the division, and you own the division, it's crazy.
Nah.
You're going to say that because it's Pernell. I mean, who you twisted?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that. He just hasn't done enough. He hasn't beaten the fighters that Pernell Whitaker beat. No chance. He's not there yet.
He's not there yet. He got undisputed world champion.
Yeah, he beat Chavez.
Undisputed world champion is not an easy thing
but
to accomplish.
Undisputed, who are you beating to become undisputed? Who are you beating?
I get that. Victor Postol? You're absolutely right. Listen, if we compare the era, Pernell's era was way harder with more dogs than this era, that's for sure. But the title of being undisputed is a very rare thing. I think less than 10 people have ever accomplished this in history. Canelo's now added to the list. Clarissa Shields did it twice. I mean, these are special people.
Hey, super champ, regular champ, champ in recess, interim champ. I mean, there's so many champs, you get confused.
You're right.
All right, well. Rhett, that's Rhett Butler from Pretty Left Hook, man. And this is one of those debates I will always – it's always great to debate boxing. I love that we bring, combat sports to the show. Rhett, we appreciate you coming on, man, and we look forward to hearing the commentary as we continue to get some really, really major fights that come on. So we appreciate you coming on, man. TJ, Sean Porter or maybe Terrence Crawford.
Hey, you seen that weigh-in yesterday.
Maybe they were using it.
They felt their best with M-Drive. You want to lose weight? Okay. They tried M-Drive Lean Protein Powder backed by real science to help you lose weight. Go to mdriveformen.com. Don't let age beat you. Visit mdriveformen.com.
Let's go get some trending. Ilo, Isaac Lowenkron, what do we have, sir? What do we have?
Fellas, we have a lot of
Sparties.
Oh, I'm going to get to them.
Stressed out.
You asked. We'll start to soften the blow a little bit. In the NFL, Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback Ben Roethlisberger has cleared COVID protocols. He is expected to start on Sunday Night Football against the Chargers in Los Angeles. Steelers also said that Roethlisberger will be flying separately to Los Angeles today instead of being on the team's charter plane. So if you see if you happen to see a 6'5", 240-pound guy clogging up the middle seat on your Spirit Airlines flight today,
when they say the boy got his own money, he got his own money.
Hey, you're clear to play, but you can't fly with the team. Make that make sense.
Oh, get me the big boy.
That is a really, really good point. Because I doubt it'll be a middle seat on Spirit Airlines. Let's put it that way. Yeah. That's a really interesting
y'all
point.
Y'all want me to play? Send the G5.
I'm just saying. I feel a cough coming on now.
Interesting.
All right, staying in Pennsylvania, Mike Garofolo reporting the Philadelphia Eagles have agreed to a 3-year, $22 million extension with cornerback Avante Maddox. On to the college football scoreboard. The game of the day going on right now at the Horseshoe, number 4, Ohio State, hosting 7th-ranked Michigan State. Here is Paul Keels on WBNS.
Henderson goes wide to the left as Stroud looks to throw. Stroud fires middle of the field, end zone, touchdown, Olave! Makes a tight grab between defenders. Chris Olave on a 23-yard pass play, and the Buckeyes get on the board first.
And they did it again. Wait a minute. What's this?
They did it again.
They did it again?
Yeah, they did it again.
Oh, okay. Well,
we're in quarters defense. Why is the safety looking for the crosser in the corners playing outside technique?
When you're in quarters defense, you should know how they're going to attack
you. Why did you do that, free safety?
Hey. I just want to make sure I have this right and that they did score again, and this is not actually the same highlight. Let's check.
Snap to C.J. Stroud. Back at his 15. Cox the arm, fires down the right seam. Wilson opens, got it to the 40 of the Spartans, to the 20, to the 10, and into the end zone.
That's
goes
a different
Garrett
name.
Wilson.
Yeah, that was a different name that scored.
No, sorry about that. 77 yards.
That wasn't Olave. Sorry, that was Wilson.
Yep. Yeah,
that was Garrett Wilson. Uh-oh. All right, finish the update.
All right, 14-0 Ohio State over Michigan State, 5:40 left in the first quarter. You know how I hate to poke fun at your various alma maters. Number one, Georgia, playing a non-conference game. They've got a 21-0 lead over Charleston Southern. 3.5 left to play in the first quarter. Clemson, a 10-0 lead over 10th-ranked Wake Forest with 5:32 left in the first. Number 13, Oklahoma and Iowa State tied at 7, 4 minutes to play in the first quarter. 16th-ranked Texas A&M in a non-conference game, leading Prairie View A&M 21-0 after one. And in another non-conference game, number 25, Mississippi State up 21-0 over Tennessee State after one. And finally, let's see if we can check the unranked non-top 25 scoreboard here. Hold on. Hold on, guys.
Unranked teams happen to be the Beavers and the Nittany Lions?
Well, one team going on.
That's cold-blooded.
The Nittany Lions.
Mama, no!
And Rutgers are scoreless with 3:44 left in the first quarter. Sorry. Back to you.
Consolation game. What are they playing for, dude?
I'll tell you what they're playing for. The fans. They playing for the fans. And you know what the fans need to do? They need to pull up in that new Dodge Ram because it's that time of the year. You know, it's actually coming to bowl season. You want to make sure you get to those bowl game stadium parking lots for them tailgates in a Dodge Ram. Make sure you pack up your coolers, grills, and widescreen TVs and load them up into your Ram truck. It's the brand that's redefining what trucks can be. Ram. They lead the pack in interior design, technology, overall quality. In fact, J.D. Power just ranked Ram as the number one brand in new vehicle quality in the entire automotive industry. First time a truck brand has ever scored that high. Ram trucks, they have the rugged durability to haul what you need and the luxurious interiors to make a drive to every away game, bowl game, tailgate game a pleasure. Get behind the wheel of a truck brand that will turn heads every time you roll up to the game. Get ready for football with a Ram truck. Learn more about what Rams have to offer at ramtrucks.com. For 2021 J.D. Power Award info, visit jdpower.com/awards. We got a whole lot coming up, gentlemen. We shall continue to have the conversation as we are winding down the first hour of Up On Game. Hope you're enjoying it. We will get to Baker Mayfield. We will pay off that tease. That should be an interesting game. The 49ers. Is Jimmy G's job more secure now than people think? We want to make sure we touch on that as well. I think San Francisco could actually be trending in the right direction. We'll see if TJ and Plex feel the same way. You're listening to Up On Game. This is Fox Sports Radio. We'll take a quick respite, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Ben, host of the 5th Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is the 5th Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of the Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to the 5th Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Up on game. Let me put you up on game. They didn't even know they were singing. They didn't even know they were singing this song to Plexico and TJ.
Ooh.
Up on game. Yeah. I'm going to put y'all up on a little game. Olave is schooling Michigan State right now. Welcome back into the show.
Hey, it doesn't help that they miss a field goal that should have been a catch and a fumble.
Oh, man. Go, Sparta. This is not Sparta. All right, go.
Hey,
go ahead.
I mean, it's been a good year.
Hey, TJ,
it's been a good year for Michigan State. Yeah, I will say that
it came to an end today. Hey, TJ, if they would have got on your little plan, they might be winning today, huh?
They should try to feel their best with M Drive. They want to lose weight? Try the M Drive Lean Protein Powder, backed by real science to help you lose weight. Go to MDriveForMen.com. Don't let AIDS beat you. Visit MDriveForMen.com or don't let them Buckeyes beat you.
Ooh, they need to come out with M Drive, the Buckeye version of it, because they got us too.
Hey, Plex, but I will say this, y'all having a good year, so forget what we saying. Y'all 9-1, baby, just top 10 rank, baby.
Don't forget what I'm saying. Y'all getting spanked right now.
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a tall task going down there.
I picked Michigan State to win. Olave is assassin.
Really?
I did. I just thought that they would be a little bit too physical for him up front. Now, I know
so
it all starts up front.
I don't know where you can win this game. You got out physical.
Hey, it's that SoCal connection, man. CJ Stroud to Chris Olave, man.
Them boys, they just too explosive, man. Look at
they
this.
They are
right here.
Super explosive.
Oh, you
bombs
me.
Over Baghdad.
I mean,
are you kidding me?
They just refuses to lose to a Big Ten opponent.
Why are we playing so much zone, man?
Because y'all can't play man.
This is like pitch and catch. Like, we do this to ourselves, and like we want to play zone and try to figure out what they're doing in the first quarter, second quarter, and then it's during the second half we want to play bump and run man to man. It's already too late.
Okay, but here's the problem.
When you're playing against explosive offenses, you got to get pressure on the quarterback.
You got to attack
and you got to make them make plays.
You
play man
to
man and force them to make plays. Don't just give them layups.
Hey, you know, you
this ain't
know,
the Los Angeles Lakers defense.
You want to know the problem with what you're doing right now, Plexico Burris? You are an offensive guy taking shots at how they play in defense, and y'all have not scored.
I am, because
point.
You understand
y'all
this.
Have
look at
not
what they're
scored
doing.
A point. I can see if it was like 21-7, 21-10, 21-17.
Ain't nobody getting no hands
man.
On nobody.
You're not doing nothing on offense either, though, player.
It was
look
a single high safety. Single high safety.
What is this?
You never
amateur
let anybody
hour?
Get behind you in a single high safety, bro. You got to be
on,
deeper
gotta play
than
man.
The deepest, man.
I'd rather like just play man and just lose and let them beat us man to man.
It looked like they just took a L with one of their cornerbacks for Ohio State Buckeyes. We'll see if we could get an update on that. You're listening to Up Game. That's TJ Hushmanzada. That's losing to Ohio State, Plexico Burris. I'm LeVar Arrington. We're fighting against this team. I think it's Rutgers. I don't know. It's senior day, so hopefully we get a dub, man. Yeah, we're going to come back with this next hour and give y'all some great content. All right, Fox Sports Radio. We'll be right back. Come on. Nah, we got 20 seconds, so I'm going to just let this thing ride out. Mashed potatoes. I'm going to sit here and make fun of the Spartans. Ha ha. Making fun of the Spartans. Ha ha. Hey, Mel Tucker just got that big old contract, too. He brought that nice little extension in. You know what? We're going to talk about that on the break.